Hello, and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, with the next in our series celebrating the career of Bob Hope. When Hope refers to the bandwidth, he is referring to the Havana Treaty, or NARBA Band Plan, which reorganized frequency assignments and took effect a couple of days before the broadcast. Listeners would have found the show at a new spot on the dial. This show features one of the most famous voices of World War II era, Kate Smith. She does sketches and sings throughout this wonderful show. Enjoy the Bob Hope Show with Kate Smith, first broadcast April 1st, 1941 on NBC.
The Pepsodent Show, starring Bob Hope and his guest star, Kate Smith.
March as march away, folks. What's a safe to say, folks? There's a room that's safe for cool, and here's Bob Hope.
Thank you so much. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob New Wavelength Hope, telling you radio listeners, you may have to change your dial, but if you use Pepsodent, you'll never have to change your smile. Or, this is Bob April Fool's Day Hope, telling you that while we can't keep you from grabbing at pocketbooks on the sidewalk, if you use Pepsodent, your teeth will never be the victim of a bum yank. Well, I suppose by this time you're sick of April Fool, but here I am anyway. What an April Fool's Day. Have you tried to tune in a radio station today? All the numbers on the radio stations have been changed, and it's very confusing. On my radio, I pressed the first button and opened a bridge in Omaha. I pressed the next button and the top of my car went up. I pressed both buttons. A little man came out and said, "Go away, we got a vacuum cleaner." And all the stations moved about 20 points to the left. That means H.V. Kaltenborn has to talk out of the corner of his mouth like this. I didn't realize how confused it all was till I tuned in one station and heard Cecil B. DeMille giving Edward G. Robinson a bath in Lux. It's the first time We the People couldn't find We the People. I wish I could find a joke there, too. But I found out the reason for those new dial changes. The Federal Communications Report says the antenna disturbance provoked by shortwave frequencies is interfering with inter-hemisphere reception, which is French for hope is lousing up the air again. And I didn't ask for any applause either. But I know my sponsor likes me anyway. He sent me a beautiful box of candy for April Fool's Day. I didn't know whether there was any pepper in the candy or not, so I tried one on my dog. First time I ever heard a Pekingese give a Tarzan yell. And you know how kids tie a string to a $5 bill, and when you reach for it, they pull it away? Well, I've been over at Paramount all day, diving for my option. But they can't fool me. This afternoon, somebody told me to watch my step because there was an open manhole in front of me. I opened my mouth to say, "April Fool." I got as far as April as the water closed over my head. But I had plenty of fun. I dialed Carol Lombard's number and said, "Hello, honey, this is Clark." And a man's voice said, "No kidding, it's your end, too?" But we all went to an April Fool's party last night out at Skinny Ennis's ranch. It's a very lovely place. It's known as El Stancho Grande, which is Mexican for El Grande Stancho. But it was a nice party. And Skinny introduced me to a nice girl. It was sort of a blind date for me, and I wasn't disappointed at all. One of her heads was quite pretty. What a girl. They needed a new needle for the Victrola, so they took off her pivot tooth and held it on the record. Nice party. They gave out a prize for the most original costume. Some guy with a clean shirt won it. But what an April Fool's Day party. The champagne flowed like 7-Up. And Skinny served the cheapest martinis on record. He just hired W.C. Fields to breathe on the olives.
So, Bob.
Yeah, what is it, Bill?
Well, Bob, I have to do some Easter shopping, and I've got to buy a lot of clothes and things like that.
Yeah, Bill.
Well, Bob, I thought I'd like to talk to you about my salary. Last year's. Now, no kidding. I've got to buy my wife a new Easter hat.
Do you buy those new Easter hats? I thought they hatched them. Look at look at that hat on the woman over there. Look at that.
Uh-huh. Well, say, that looks just like the hat Mrs. Roosevelt was wearing.
No wonder she's got to keep traveling.
Well, she's probably in a hurry. As a matter of fact, a lot of folks are in a hurry these days. They've heard that there's only a couple of weeks more to take advantage of Pepsodent's big free gift offer. And they, like all smart people, don't want to miss it. At drug counters all over the country, here's what's happening.
I'd like a Pepsodent 50 Tough toothbrush, please.
Yes, ma'am. Here they are. Right here in this display tower. Would you like to choose your own favorite color handle? They're all sanitary, sealed and glass.
And how about the free 25-cent package of Pepsodent?
Well, here it is. Free from Pepsodent to you. There's no charge for it, just the regular price of 50 cents for the toothbrush.
Thank you very much. I'll take a free package of tooth powder.
And there you have it. Every one of you is entitled to a free gift of Pepsodent toothpaste or Pepsodent tooth powder, whichever you prefer. All you do is go to your store, buy a Pepsodent 50 Tough toothbrush at the regular price, and your salesman will present you with a free gift of toothpaste or tooth powder, compliments of Pepsodent. But don't wait, please. Take advantage of it now. The offer will expire in a couple of weeks. Get your 50 Tough toothbrush and your free Pepsodent dentifrice while there's still time.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, I have a really delightful surprise for you. May I present one of radio's most beloved and outstanding personalities, the songbird of the South, Kate Smith, singing I Can't Remember to Forget. All right, Kate.
So I promise to erase every memory of your face. I can't remember to forget. It makes no difference how I bow, my heart haunted by a ghost. I can't remember to forget. Am I late? I've seen the light at last. I'll make up in the future for the past. So with my pride in full retreat, my heart kneeling at your feet, and you remember to forget.
Kate, really wonderful.
Well, thank you, Bob.
Kate, I want to welcome you to the Pepsodent Show. It's a thrill to have you here.
And it's a thrill to be here, Bob. Really, yours is one of my favorite radio shows. I tune your program in every single Tuesday night.
Is that a fact, Kate?
Honestly, Bob, it's become a real habit with me. In fact, I don't think I could sleep without it. While I'm here, I want to thank you for appearing on my show last Friday.
Well, you know, Kate, I really enjoyed working on your program with Dorothy Lamour and Una Merkel doing that bit from The Road to Zanzibar.
But, Bob, Bing Crosby was in that picture, too. How is it he didn't show up on the broadcast?
Well, one of his horses was dying, and he had to sit up with him. It was the first time he'd ever seen one of his horses finish.
While we were on the air, you actually kissed Dorothy Lamour. You know, you weren't supposed to kiss her. We have a sound effects man who takes care of that.
Yeah, how do you get into that union?
Well, Bob, the way you kiss, I wouldn't want you to know. say, I noticed when you were on my show, Bob, that you were dressed in the usual fashion, but you were wearing a pair of rubbers. Why was that?
Well, whenever I get near that Dorsey L'Amour, the water on my knee percolates. I really had the audience over at your place laughing, though, didn't I, Kate?
Yes, Bob, you sure did. You're the first guest I ever had that stood at the door as the people came in and gave them all shots of adrenaline.
Well, I had to do that, Kate. The ushers refused to run through the audience with feathers. But I enjoyed doing The Road to Zanzibar on your show. You know, it's a sequel to The Road to Singapore.
Road to Zanzibar. Road to Singapore. Why doesn't Paramount just hang a red lantern on your nose?
They can't. W.C. Fields has it patented. Hey, I have appeared in all the road pictures, though. I even took a test for that picture, Tobacco Road.
Did you get the part in it?
No.
Then why don't you change back to your regular clothes?
Like that. Wait and let my brother-in-law five a line there, but I'm a disregard. But I'm doing all... I took such a big take, I lost my place. But I'm doing all right in those road pictures. I have enough money. I don't have to worry.
You don't, Bob?
No, I've got so much money, I can even talk back to a waiter at the Brown Derby. I suppose you've been around seeing places like the Brown Derby and the Pirate's Den during your visit here, Kate?
Yes, and there's something I'd like to ask you about California.
What is it?
Does it really rain out here?
Survivors! But, Kate, I haven't introduced you to the members of our cast. Would you like to meet our band leader, Skinny Ennis?
Oh, I'd love to, Bob. What a lovely word, Skinny. Is that him over there, Bob? Goodness, has he always been so thin, or just since you've been paying him?
Oh, he's always been small and thin. In fact, he was 4 years old before anyone knew he was born. To be perfectly frank, Kate, compared to him, you look a little big.
Bob, compared to him, there's no comparison. Yeah, I wish my dog were here now. I'd love him to see Miss Annis.
You'd like to have your dog see Skinny Annis?
Yeah, I want him to be satisfied with the bones he's getting now.
Well, I'll call him. Hey, Skinny.
Yeah, Bob.
Come over here. Kate, this is Skinny Ennis. Skin, this is Kate Smith.
Are you kidding? So this is Skinny Ennis.
Yeah, and if you're all through examining me, how about putting me down?
I'm glad to know you, Skinny. I said I'm glad to know you, Skinny. Well, say something.
Comes the revolution, all the weight will be divided equal.
You know, Skin, Kate's from Dixie, too.
Oh, are you a Southerner, Skin? They call me the Songbird of the South. What do they call you down south?
Yankee.
Yankee? But, Skinny, there are no more Yankees and Southerners. We're all together under the stars and stripes. Why, even Bob Hope belongs as much to the South as he does to the North.
Doggone it, North Carolina seceding again. Gosh, you know, Kate, you know, I'd like to be big and husky like you.
Well, that's easy, Skin. You ever heard of grape nuts?
No. No, we don't hear much from the outside world on this program.
Well, what do you talk about?
Just Pepsodent.
Really?
Yeah, we talk Pepsodent, eat Pepsodent, sleep Pepsodent, nothing but Pepsodent, day and night.
Well, don't you ever go out with girls?
No, when we get in the mood, the sponsor sends over a couple of tubes that can rumba.
Say, Kate.
Yeah.
How do you get your voice to sound so powerful when you sing?
Well, Skin, it's really very simple. Before you start to sing, you just take 4 deep breaths. Now, go ahead.
Okay.
Hey, what's that?
One of my corpuscles writing a letter to Ripley. Kate, so long to you, and I want you to know it's been nice seeing you.
It's been nice hardly seeing you, too, Skin. You know, Bob, Skinny isn't a bad singer.
Yeah, he's a pretty good singer, and you're a good singer, Kate, but when I sing, everyone in the United States hears me.
Everyone in the United States hears you?
Everyone in the nation. Listen. Ha-ha!
I did it for national defense.
Thank you very much, Kate. And we can't let you go away without singing another song. Ladies and gentlemen, Kate Smith singing I Hear a Rhapsody.
sleeve. And when your sparkling eyes are smiling at me, then soft through the starry skies I hear a rhapsody. My days are so blue when you're away. My heart longs for you. So won't you stay, my darling? Hold me tight and whisper to me. Then soft through the starlit night, I hear Rhapsody. And when I hear you call so softly to me, I don't hear a call at all. I hear a rhapsody. And when your sparkling eyes are smiling at me, then soft through the starry skies I hear a rhapsody.
My days are so blue.
Belts them out, doesn't he? You just heard a rhapsody there. Say, Bill,
yes,
what's
Bob?
That machine you and Skinny have been fussing with over there in the corner?
Oh, that? Well, I'll tell you. Skinny has invented a memory machine, Bob. You just press a button and the machine remembers stuff.
Hey, go ahead, Bob. Ask you something.
Okay, what's Hattie Lamar's telephone number?
That number is Adams 95563.
Hey, that's right.
Is it?
See if it remembers what she did when I asked her.
Yeah, you had to go open your big mouth.
Well, I didn't know
this, sir. And Bob Goodwin was going to give it a real memory test. Hey, what were you going to ask it, Bill?
Well, Skin, I was going to ask it if it remembered how many tufts there are in ordinary toothbrushes. Now, the brush that most of you ladies and gentlemen are using probably has 17, 19, 23, or 25 tufts. Now, compare that with the new Pepsodent 50-tuft toothbrush.
And there, ladies and gentlemen, you have the answer to a sensational overnight success. No other toothbrush contains 50 tufts of Fibrex, DuPont's marvelous synthetic fibers. No other toothbrush gives you double power cleansing. And no other toothbrush combines this high efficiency with gentle and springy fibers that whip into hard-to-reach areas, yet that are gentle on your gums. No, sir, ladies and gentlemen, never before have the number of tufts in your toothbrush been so important to beautiful, bright teeth. These new Pepsodent 50-tuff toothbrushes cost no more than ordinary brushes, just 50 cents. But what a whale of a lot more you get. Comfortable-feeling handles, a choice of many sparkling colors, and a sanitary sparkling glass package. Get your Pepsodent 50-tuff brush tomorrow.
It's just like walking on air. Feel like a bubble, no trouble, no care.
And now, Bob Hope offers his version of Walking on Air. Our scene opens with two of Hollywood's most lovable characters riding in their auto.
Hey, Brenda, what is it, Copina?
Isn't it nice to be out driving like this?
Yeah, you know, I think I got spring fever.
Spring fever? What's that?
You know, when you feel so lazy you don't want to do anything but neck with fellas all day. That means it's spring.
You mean for 40 years I've been living in the same season? Look! Look! We're passing a man! Brenda, don't you know it's not right to whistle at man?
Is it different?
No! Just get up on the hood and drag him off the sidewalk.
Oh, he didn't pay no attention. We should have brought the harpoon. Say, Kobe, there's a gas station over there. I think we need some gas. Drive in.
Brenda, we just got gas 5 minutes ago. We don't need any more.
Oh, look at them good-looking attendants.
Fill her up.
How do you do, miss? Can I do anything for you?
Are you kidding?
Come on, let's go. Oh, look, here's Clark Gable. Won't you climb into my car, Mr. Gable? Here, sit next to me. You dear boy, it was sweet of you to send me those flowers this morning. What's that? Oh, certainly I'll tell my chauffeur. Up here, drive Mr. Gable and me through Lover's Lane. Oh, Clark. Stop. Oh, you're my best tick of my ear. Oh, Clark.
And they gave Ginger Rogers the Academy Award for acting.
Oh, look, Copina, look at that handsome man crossing the street. Well, let's get going. He's no good to us now.
Say, I meant to tell you, I went to the doctor today about the water on my knee. Look how he fixed it. What happens when I shake my knee?
Well, what do you know? Stepping up. Copina, I just noticed your lipstick's awful red today.
Lipstick nothing. Every time we stop suddenly, I kiss the cigar lighter.
Kissing a cigar lighter? Why, you silly girl, that's the most idiotic thing I... Is it good?
Well, compared to the fellas I usually get, yes. I'm afraid we'll never get any fellas.
Copina, don't be so pessimistic. Why, when them fellas see us driving in this swell car, two gorgeous dames with lovely complexions, beautiful features, luscious figures, very exotic looking...
Brenda, I told you to put that Ethel in the car.
Hey, look at those two fellas sitting on the bench. Let's sneak up on them.
All right, don't forget, though, take it easy. This is our last monkey ranch.
Come on, let's sneak up on them and hear what they're saying.
What is it, Robert?
Gee, it sure is romantic here in the park, isn't it? Say, is that girl still watching me?
No, you can stop walking on your hands now.
Oh, I guess it's no use. Why can't we get girls? What's wrong with us? You think it's true what they say about Sen-Sen? Say, look at that girl over there.
Oh, Bob, that girl isn't so nice. Only an average fellow would even consider flirting with her. Only an average fellow would be willing to be seen with her. Only an average fellow would be willing to make love to her.
Meet John Doe.
Well, anyway, it's nice seeing you here in the park, Bob. Gosh, I'll bet the corner of Hollywood and Vine doesn't look the same without you.
I didn't like that remark, Bill. I don't want to get a reputation as being the only fellow in Hollywood who hangs around on corners on Hollywood Boulevard whistling at girls. Other actors do that, too.
Well, yeah, but you're the only guy in Hollywood who has a stand-in for the night shift.
Gee. Look at that gorgeous blonde. Oh, what a beautiful blonde.
Yeah. Oh, look, it's starting to rain. Oh, boy, it's raining hard.
She don't look bad as a brunette either. Say, Bill, look, there's a cop over there behind those bushes. Why, it's Professor Colonna. Colonna, so you're now a cop.
Yes, officer of the law, servant of the people, upholder of human rights, and defender of womankind. Also bets taken for Bay Meadows.
Well, are you attending to your job, Professor?
Yes, Hope, tell me. Is it true that there's a guy in this park who holds up fellows and then takes their pants so they can't chase after him?
That's right, Colonna.
You see, ladies, I ain't just absent-minded.
Officer Colonna, get back in your beat.
Okay, now just a minute. I want to help this little girl over the puddle. Now, little girl, it's just a small puddle. So when I say three, jump over it. One, two, three. You'd be surprised how many kids we lose that way.
Hey, Bill.
Yeah,
look at that. Yes. Look at that small, thin pigeon over there hunting around for crumbs.
Yeah, say, who's that fat pigeon behind him?
That's his agent.
I don't know. Oh, gee whiz, I wish some girls had come by.
Boy, what legs. What legs. What legs.
Oh, come on, give me back my caterpillar.
Come on, honey. No one can see us here. Flip your little kid.
Why, Officer Colonna, have you got a girl back there?
Oh, no, no. I'm just playing with a sparrow. A little teeny sparrow. Big son of a gun, wasn't she?
Never mind. What are you doing now, Colonna?
Oh, I'm just picking a little dandelion. Long roots.
Hey, Bob, look. Here come a couple of girls in a car.
Gee, Bill, this is our chance. I'm going to be Darren. I'll whistle to them lightly. I wonder if they whistle back. This is the first time I ever picked up a factory whistle.
Why, the idea. We're not a factory whistle. We're girls.
Come, come. This is no time for April Fool jokes. Well, yes. Say, gee, here comes a cop. Let's all hide in these bushes.
Yeah, let's hide.
Yes.
All right. Now, I'll hide, and you see if you can find me.
Colonna, come here. Come over here.
Bell-bottom pants.
Bell-bottom head.
That did it. These two here are under arrest.
But, Professor, they're Brendan Cabina.
I don't care what their names are. They can't run around this park without a license on their collars. Now, you're all under arrest. Everyone get in the car.
Oh, Professor.
Get in.
Here we go. Great Scott, Professor. We're going 110 miles an hour.
Yes. And sideways, too.
Colonna, watch how you're driving. Can't you see that sign? No U-turn?
No U-turn. I haven't got a driver's license.
Colonna, watch out. We're headed right for the lake.
Don't worry. As soon as I get the car up to 120 miles an hour, we just skim over the lake. 110 miles, 115 miles, 120. And here we go, right over the lake.
Colonna, look out!
You'd be surprised how many cars we lose this way.
Good night, ladies and gentlemen. I guess that's all, isn't it?
You are listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and next we have Bob Hope doing what he did best, taking his humor to the troops all over the world. He was decorated and received many well-deserved awards for his willingness to go into war zones and entertain. He was hesitant to take his show on the road doing remote broadcasts. But once he appeared in front of an audience of servicemen, he was hooked. They were the best audiences he ever had, and he contributed so much to the war effort. You will enjoy the jokes that are tailored to the naval recruits. This show is a remote broadcast from the Great Lakes Naval Training Station with guest star Claudette Colbert. Enjoy the Bob Hope Show, first broadcast May 5th, 1943 on NBC.
For the safety of your smile, use Pepsodent twice a day. See your dentist twice a year. From the Great Lakes Naval Training Station at Great Lakes, Illinois, the Pepsodent Show starring Bob Hope.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob Priorities Hope telling you sailors to buy Pepsodent toothpaste and turn in your old tube, and your teeth will be so bright you can get a better-looking girlfriend and turn in your old tub. Well, here I am at the Great Lakes Naval Training Station. What a reception I got here. There were flowers spread all over the ground. And as I stepped out of the car, all the sailors applauded four times while I fell deep in the heart of an open manhole. You know, when a visiting celebrity arrives here, they always have a big brass band at the station to greet him. Well, for me, they had a campfire girl playing a harmonica. Bob Hope, he said, well, we decided to skip it. This is the Great Lakes country. One more drip won't make any difference. I don't see why all the Midwestern people rave about the Great Lakes so much. We have the same thing in California and in midair, too. There were two old ladies down here this afternoon. They just saw a sailor for the first time. One of them pointed at the back of his pants and said, good gracious, Martha, a girdle on the outside. And these sailors here, I want to tell you, they're real he-men. I saw one sailor, he had so much hair in his chest, every time he swallowed his Adam's apple took a trip through the jungle. I didn't want him to think I was a sissy, so I walked up to one big sailor and I said, listen here, I'm tough. You know what I did to him? I made him carry me to the hospital. Of course, I got a pretty good physique myself. You know, when MGM saw Johnny Weissmuller in a bathing suit, they got the idea for Tarzan the Ape. When they saw me, they got the idea for Woman of the Year. But a lot of these sailors sleep in hammocks. You know what a hammock is. That's government-issue curvature of the spine. My uncle is a great sailor. He still keeps up the old traditions. The other night he went down with his schooner right on the floor of the Clayton Bar. But I like Chicago, though, because they're really baseball mad here. And believe me, they got something to be mad about. And it's really windy here on the shore of Lake Michigan. Skinny Ennis walked out on the beach today and stretched his arms. And 10 minutes later, they shot him down over Gary, Indiana. But I'm sure enjoying this trip in the Hollywood Victory Caravan. Because of the emergency, people are asked to only carry the most valuable baggage on trains with them. And all I'm taking is my pajamas, my wallet, my toothbrush, and spare tire. This rubber shortage is really terrific. I stayed at the Ambassador Hotel last night, and during the night, a guy broke into my room, jacked me up, and stole my hot water bottle. And now Larry Keating.
All right, Bob. Ladies and gentlemen, all you regular listeners to the Double or Nothing program know...
Wait a minute, Larry. This is not the Double or Nothing program.
Oh, it is this week, Bob. Because if you want to get double value for your money without gambling, here's a sure thing. Pepsodent's new 50-tuff toothbrush has double the number of tufts, twice as many as any other brush in a small, compact head. Tufts now improved with sturdier, more durable nylon bristles. Double the number of tufts in brushing contact with your teeth. Double the cleansing power, and double the pleasure. You not only get a brush that's a pleasure to use and doubly effective as an aid to healthy, sparkling teeth, you get a cash certificate besides. You can use this cash certificate in place of a dime for any item in the store costing 10 cents or more. Drugs, cosmetics, anything you want. Get a 50-tuff toothbrush for every member of the family. With each brush, packed right in the sealed glass container, is the cash certificate worth 10 cents in extra spending money. So, outfit each member of your family with the Pepsodent 50-tuff toothbrush. You give them doubly efficient aid to healthy, sparkling teeth, and you help to protect their smiles.
Here's Francis Langford singing, Somebody Else Has Taken My Place.
Now shares your embrace. Why
I'm trying. You go around with a smile on your face. Little you care for vows that you made. Little you care how much I have paid.
Was Francis Langford singing "Somebody Else Has Taken My Place"? Wait till I hear you at the Chicago Stadium tomorrow night with the Hollywood Victory Caravan. They'll love you there too, Francis. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you one of Hollywood's most vivacious and glamorous screen stars and one of our fellow travelers on the Victory train, Miss Claudette Colbert. Well, Claudette, how do you like it here at the Great Lakes Naval Training Station with all these handsome sailors?
Oh, it's wonderful, Bob. By the way, how do you get acquainted with a sailor?
Well, in your case, just... in your case, just walk by the barracks without a bodyguard, that's all. I knew I'd never get to that line.
What do you mean, Bob? Don't they even wait for an introduction?
What?
Don't they even wait for an introduction?
Listen, Claudette, once a sailor was cast away in a desert island in the middle of the ocean with a beautiful blonde. He was just about to say, "Pardon me, have we been introduced?" And before he could say pardon, the Marines had landed. Thank you, fellas. I'll do the same for you sometimes. Thank you. But you know, Claudette... I hope my agent has 10% of this throat. But you know, Claudette... This is one of the best places in the world to train to be sailors. These boys have got a wonderful lake, haven't they?
Well, don't be jealous, Bob. You've got quite a bay there yourself. Look, just compare your physique with those fellows out there, hmm? Just look how hardy they are.
So what? Look at me. I'm hardy.
Bob, there's quite a difference between hardy and lardy. But then, perhaps you're not as young as you used to be.
Well, I don't know why you say I'm not young. I bet I'm as young as any of these sailors.
You are not. I've seen these sailors, and they have American flags tattooed on their arms.
Well, I've got an American flag tattooed on my arm.
I know, but theirs have more than 13 stars.
So have I, if you want to count the dimples. You know, Claudette... Claudette, I'm glad to be here, and I'm really thrilled about it.
I understand, but that's no reason to make a show of yourself dancing the sailor's hornpipe on Michigan Boulevard.
Oh, that wasn't the sailor's hornpipe. I was running after a bus when my suspenders broke. Hey, just look at all those fellas out there training to be sailors. Gee, how often they must hear those words, those wonderful, impressive words.
You mean all hands on deck?
No, I mean those words so dear to the heart of any naval man. Roll 'em, brother, you're fated.
Bob, that reminds me, I heard a peculiar rumor. Of course, I don't believe it, but I heard that soldiers and sailors like to shoot craps.
No. What a vicious rumor. Of course it isn't true. Of course, I have heard of one regiment that shot crap so often they had the only sailors in the Navy who'd stand at attention in a kneeling position. Claudette, I want to welcome you to the Peps on the show, and I think you really deserve a lot of thanks for taking time out from your work on the Hollywood Victory Tour for Army and Navy Relief to come over here. You know, I wanted to meet you the minute I saw you on the train.
I thought you did, Bob.
Really? How could you tell?
Oh, I don't know. It was just something about the way you kept walking by and dropping your handkerchief. I'm positive you were flirting with me, Bob.
Well, maybe I did have a slight gleam in my eye.
Slight gleam? That's the first time the super chief ever came into Chicago with two headlights. Bob, you actually embarrassed me. I don't mind having an admirer, but, you know, you followed me all over the train wherever I went.
Was I that bad?
You certainly were. The only way I could get rid of you was to go in the dining car. And when we finally did go in the dining car, you were so noisy.
I was noisy in the dining car?
Well, perhaps you didn't mean to be, but, gosh, the way you crinkled that wax paper unwrapping your sandwiches...
Yeah, those waiters were so snooty, they wouldn't unwrap them for me.
Oh, but you know, it was picturesque. The way dinner was served as the train was going along the edge of Lake Michigan. And you know, Bob, I thought a dollar for a fish dinner was very reasonable.
Well, I didn't say it wasn't.
No, but you were the only one that put a fishing line out the window and tried to catch your own.
Well, anyway, I'm enjoying the Victory train very much.
Well, it must be fun for you, Bob, making the trip with all those beautiful girls. Joan Bennett, Merle Oberon, Olivia de Havilland, Joan Blondell.
Oh, were they on the train? I hardly noticed.
You hardly noticed. For 3,000 miles, you fizzed like a bottle of 7-Up.
Yes. Yes, I percolated all the way from Pomona to Cicero. You know, the whole trip, I sat between Merle Oberon and Olivia de Havilland.
Uh-huh, I saw you, but... I noticed you didn't do any talking.
I couldn't.
Why not?
Every time I opened my mouth, smoke would come out. They're hep, those guys, there. Yeah. They're very hep.
And when we went through that tunnel, I saw you lean over to kiss Joan Bennett.
Yeah, but there was a sharp curve in the tunnel, and the train gave a sudden lurch.
But what happened?
I don't see why all the girls rave about Charles Boyer. Oh.
The train did lurch and rock quite a bit, didn't it?
Boy, I'll say that train rocked. In the morning, I went in to get washed and dressed, and I splashed cold water in James Cagney's face, dried off Charles Boyer, and walked back to my berth in Cary Grant's pants.
Well, that's as close as you'll ever get to any of those three.
Why, I think I stack up pretty well with them as far as looks go.
No, I think you have ears just like Cary Grant, and your eyes are like Boyer's, and you have a chin like Cagney's.
Do you really think my features are the same as those fellas?
Yeah, but brother, what mistakes were made on the assembly line.
Well, one thing you've got to admit, Claudette, I was really a big shot on that train when we got to Washington. My brother's a big politician. He gave me a letter of introduction to the president. Boy, I certainly made an impressive sight as I walked in the front door of the White House and handed the letter to the doorman.
Well, you made an even more impressive sight when you came flying out on your ear.
Well, how did my brother know Wilkie didn't get in?
Oh, Bob, isn't Charles Boyer wonderful on that trip? And Cary Grant.
I can't figure you out, Claudette. Cary Grant, Charles Boyer, just a couple of ham actors.
What's hammy about them?
Well, did you see him taking bows in front of the crowd at the railroad station this morning?
Yes, you almost fell off their shoulders.
Well, the cups of the sun got a little heavy.
It's no use, Bob. Somehow you just don't appeal to me like Charles Boyer does.
Oh, you dislike him because of his accent.
Well, I guess you're right. I do like his accent.
Well, I can have an accent like that. Listen. Ah, Claudette, ma chérie, you are très charmant. Come, kiss me. Kiss me.
Well, it must be something more than his accent.
Take a step, boy. Mary. I'm crazy about Mary. For Mary is plainly lovely. When she's with me, I'm a happy guy. Gee, Mary. Without her, I'm lonely. And if she will say I do, then I will too, and Mary mine. It's Mary, I'm crazy about Mary. Oh, Mary's plainly and lovely. When she's with me, I'm a happy guy. Mary, without her, I'm lonely. And if she will say I do, then I will too, and make Mary.
Check and double-check. That's what Pepsodent did. They checked and double-checked the fact that Pepsodent tooth powder makes teeth twice as bright. Independent laboratory tests had proved that Pepsodent tooth powder can produce a luster on teeth twice as bright as the average of all other leading brands.
Say, that's mighty important evidence.
It sure is. And then Pepsodent double-checked this discovery in practical tests.
Yeah, you know, I've seen pictures in the current magazines of the many sets of identical twins who joined in the tests to prove that Pepsodent tooth powder actually gets teeth brighter.
Yes, and here's how the test was made. One twin used Pepsodent tooth powder. The other chose another leading brand. They brushed their teeth the same number of times in the same way. Everything was just alike, except the kind of tooth powder they used. And in the case of each set of twins, after just a few weeks, anyone, and I mean anyone, could pick the twin who used Pepsodent. Just by her smile, the Pepsodent twin had teeth twice as bright.
Man, you mean you could tell the twins apart just by their teeth? Why, that's real proof.
You bet it is. Pepsodent gives a twice as bright smile. And what Pepsodent can do for the twins, let it do for you. Just go down to the corner drugstore tonight and say, Pepsodent tooth powder, please. Remember, you don't need an empty tube or can when you buy Pepsodent tooth powder. Ladies and gentlemen, as you have heard, Bob Hope leaves tonight with the victory train of Hollywood stars to play benefits in such cities as Kansas City, Minneapolis, Houston, Dallas, and many others. On hearing the glorious news that his city is among those to be honored by the great Bob Hope's presence, says the mayor of Houston proudly,
"You can fool some of the people all of the time, and you can fool some of the people some of the time. You can fool all of the people part of the time, and you can fool part of the people some of the time. You can fool part of all of the people almost all of the time, but this is ridiculous."
And now we find Bob and Skinny Ennis packing for the big trip on the victory train.
Gee, Skin, just think, tonight we're taking the train and joining the Hollywood Victory Caravan for Houston.
Yes, say, Bob, I ain't traveling much, you know, and tell me, how much do you give a porter at the end of the trip?
Well, it depends.
Depends on what?
On whether or not he sees you getting off the train. Come on. We've got to finish packing. Skin, go in the closet and get the rest of our suits.
Oh, Bob, I'm afraid to go in that closet. There's a big moth in there, and he keeps beating me up.
Skinny, you don't have to be afraid of a moth. Here, take my revolver and show him who's boss.
Okay. Give me the gun. Here I go. Bob, don't stand there. Take it away from him.
Not me. He looks tougher than the second lieutenant's heart.
Hey, Bob, are we all ready to go down to the train now?
Almost. Say, you know, Skin, so many beautiful stars are going on that train. I'm going to call one up and take it to the station. Say, Skin, who do you think is more my type, Olivia de Havilland or Claudette Colbert?
Why, Bob, I think Claudette is your type. Olivia is more my type.
Well, then I'll neck with Claudette and you neck with Olivia.
Okay, and when we get tired of them, we'll just change off.
Gee, that was fun. What do we play now? Well, never mind. We got to finish packing our trunks. The man from the express company should be here any minute to take our luggage down to the station. Hello? Well, so you're an express man now, Claude. How's business?
Fine. I work all day. I got the only trunk in the city with four rubber tires.
Well, where'd you get the tires?
I work all night, too.
Listen, how soon can you get over here and pick up my luggage?
Oh, it'll take quite a while, Hope. I'm doing a big moving job down here. We're moving a 10-ton safe from the 10th story. I'm down here on the ground, and my assistant is going to throw it down to me, and I'll catch it.
Colonna, you idiot. You can't catch a 10-ton safe thrown from a 10th story window.
Oh, no? Watch. Hey, Joe, let it go. That Joe, he put a curve on it.
Colonna, have you got a screw loose in your head?
Why, the very idea insinuating that I have a screw loose in my head. Just to prove it to you, I'm going to shake my head right now. Big son of a gun, isn't it?
Stop fooling, Professor. You've got to get over here and pick up my trunk so I can make the victory train.
Don't worry, Hope. I'll be down to pick up your trunk soon. I just hired a new man, and right now he's helping me move a big trunk out of a window on the 20th floor of this building. Easy, Sam. Remember, you're a new man. Let me show you how. Put your foot out of the window. That's it. Now. Didn't last very long, did he?
Hello, fellas.
Hello, Francis.
Well, I'm all packed and ready to go. Gee, I can hardly wait till we get on that victory train again. Just think, Cary Grant will be on the train. He's divine.
Wait a minute. Why do you think fellas like Cary Grant are better than me? After all, what's Cary Grant got that I haven't got?
Well, Cary is filled with charm.
Well, I'm filled with charm.
Cary is dripping with personality.
Well, I'm dripping with personality.
Cary spends his money like water.
I'm still dripping.
Hey, Bob. Someone's coming down the hall.
Hello,
everyone.
Bob, it's Vera
Vague. Vera Vague. Well, Vera Vague. Pull up your sag and sit down. Tell me, what are you doing here?
Well, Francis invited me to go on the train with you. I'm going to be with you on your whole trip as a chaperone.
A chaperone?
Yes.
You mean one of those people who stand around and keep an eye on everybody and spoil the fun?
Yes, yes. I'm going to be a sort of an ST in skirts. You know, Bob, we young girls can't be too careful. Why, only recently a sailor tried to flirt with me, but I reported him to the head of the Navy. Oh, she was such a...
What did you say?
Oh, I said the head of the Navy was such a gentleman.
Yes, everyone liked Admiral Dewey. Yes, I know.
Now, just a minute, Mr. Holt. I'm just as young as you are, which makes me pretty much of an old bat.
Miss Vague, what are your duties as chaperone?
Well, you see, if anyone tries to kiss Francis, I step between them, just as he's about to kiss her.
Well, why do you wait until he is already starting to kiss her before you step between them?
Well, if I time it just right, Francis is saved, he's satisfied, and I'm in heaven.
Well, suppose some of them try to kiss her again, what do you do?
Well, Bob, have you heard the dainty way a woman can reason with a man? Appeal to his sense of honor and to his sense of decency and to his sense of fair play?
Yes.
Well, I just bash in his head with a club and save a lot of time.
Hey, when are we going to get going anyway?
Say, we'll leave pretty soon, Skin. Clona should be here with his truck any minute.
Hey, here he comes now.
Why carry things down a whole flight of stairs?
Hello, Professor. So you're from the express company?
Yes.
Well, how much are they charging for trunks these days?
Oh, I don't know. I never wear any.
Yeah. Hello, Professor. Do you remember me, Vera Vague?
Oh, Colonna, I bet you're surprised to see her here at the naval station.
Oh, not at all, Hope. Every old tug needs an overhauling once in a while.
I can't be angry with you. You're the type of man I've really been looking for. Why don't we get married, and in a year or so, maybe we'll have a little girl who looks just like me. What would you say to that?
Drown it.
Oh,
come on, Professor. Hurry up and take our luggage or we'll miss the train.
Yeah, we'll put the bags on your truck, Kelowna. Now, come on, drive us down to the railroad station and step on it.
Okay, here we go. Well, here we are at the railroad station. Quite a shortcut, wasn't it? Now I'll drive across the tracks.
Now be careful, Kelowna. There's a train coming.
Oh, don't worry, Hope. I've been all over these railroad train yards before. Of course, it's not spread out quite so thin.
All thanks for the memory of you, the Navy's pride. We're more than gratified to see your shining faces out there smiling side by side. And thank you so much. And thanks for the memories, you Great Lakes boys who trained to free the bounding main. You'll rid the seas of Japanese and make their loss our gain. And thank you so much. So folks, join the trend now prevailing. Buy bonds and help keep these boys sailing. This is no time for shirking or failing. Our force that frees the seven seas. Say, it's been a real pleasure and privilege to broadcast here from the Great Lakes Naval Training Station tonight. And I'd like to thank Admiral Downs and his entire personnel for making it so enjoyable for us all. Also, thank you, Miss Claudette Colbert, for adding so much to our program. Say, I think I should mention that Miss Colbert's salary tonight is going to pay for tickets for the boys to see the show tomorrow. How about that, fellas? You know, I almost forgot about that. That's a real sweet gesture. I mean that. We'll be at the Chicago Stadium here tomorrow night with a whole Hollywood Victory Caravan, ladies and gentlemen, of 22 stars. Just to name a few offhand, there's Merle Oberon, Claudette Colbert, Pat O'Brien, James Cagney, Joan Blondell, Joan Bennett, Jerry Colonna. Help me out, Jerry. There's 22 of them. A tremendous list of stars. I wish I had time to name them all. I hope I haven't forgotten. I know I've forgotten many of them, but I'm sorry, but you'll see them all. They're a grand gang and a grand show. And next week, we'll be broadcasting from Ellington Field, Houston, Texas. The second stop in our 7-week tour throughout the Midwest, South, and East to entertain the personnel of Army, Navy, and Marines. And folks, let me again remind you to buy war bonds and stamps. Help our boys fight the battle in their own way. They're not only fighting for a better world, but they stand ready to give the utmost to ensure victory. The War Department has put into effect a plan whereby all Army personnel and civilian employees can purchase war bonds. This plan is similar to the payroll savings plan now used in commercial organizations throughout the United States. Yes, our fighting men are doing more than their duty. Let us do ours now. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Our broadcasting tonight was for the entertainment of the Navy personnel and does not necessarily constitute an endorsement of our products by the Navy. This broadcast came to you from Great Lakes, Illinois.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Old Time Radio Hour. We are so glad you could join us this week, and I hope you'll be able to find time to listen again next week. As Bob Hope went into the late 1940s, he revamped his show to reflect changing public tastes. We found a couple of treats from the later part of Bob Hope's radio career for next week's show. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying, so long for a while.